Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons, and welcome to the live recording version of Pints and Politics. I'm delighted to welcome our guests today. But before I introduce them, let me just remind our listeners and viewers, Pints and Politics is about talking about the most important issues of our day while enjoying a Nebraska craft beer. And I tell you what, guys, it doesn't get any better than this. Thank you, John Hansen, Josh Moaning, for being here. Let me introduce our guests. Josh Moaning is the mayor of Norfolk. Josh is also the co-chair of Renew Nebraska, a statewide organization that talks about the importance of renewable energy in Nebraska. And Josh, this is your third appearance on
Pints and Politics? Third appearance, believe it or not. Yes, I'm a veteran at this point, I think. So yeah, very glad to be on. Thanks for having
me. Well, thanks for being here. And it's my delight for the first time on the show, my friend John Hansen. And John is the chair of the Nebraska Wind and Solar Conference. And John's day job is the president of the Nebraska Farmers Union. And John, someone told me that you were first elected to the post as president of Nebraska Farmers Union in 1989?
December of 89,
yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So you've put in some years, you put in some time, and thank you for allowing us to tape this recording at the 14th annual Nebraska Wind and Solar Conference. Welcome.
Well, thank you. And when I heard there was free beer involved, I couldn't pass it up, really.
Josh has been doing this. It's the only way I can get Josh to come to Lincoln.
Might be true.
And it's not true. Well, guys, I'm delighted that we get to talk about renewable energy. And John, 14 years you've been doing this, the Wind and Solar Conference. What are some of the changes that you've seen over the 14 years of doing the Wind and Solar Conference?
Well, we were doing renewable energy education and outreach for a number of years ahead of that. And so we were doing about 100 meetings a year across Nebraska on renewable energy. And so going back, I think, to 2004 and five. And so the idea struck me one day that I've met all these really smart, interesting people across the state of Nebraska. And wouldn't it be great if we just had an annual conference where all those people that I was meeting in all these meetings across the state could come get together and get to know the other players involved in renewable energy. So this is the You All Come annual meeting. And so we have the public power districts who have been a part of our process since the beginning, the developers, the professional service providers, which is a substantial part of the renewable energy benefit,
right.
Is all of those professional services. Landowners, wildlife, public at large, conservation. It's a great mix of people. And we just come together. And so now it's kind of like a family reunion of sorts.
I've noticed that. I've been to several conferences. I was not at the first one. But let me just pause for a second. And because I'm in a new environment, I forgot why we're here, in addition to talking about renewable energy, to talk about beer. So let me just pause for a moment and describe our beer. So our viewers may see, I've already finished my first beer and I'm on to my second. But our friends at Zipline Brewery are providing the beers tonight for us. And this is their Pilsner beer from Zipline Brewing right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And this is their Dear Old Nebraska U. And then I poured, I tried that, I loved it. But I like a little more punch to my beer. So this is their Copper Alt, just a very drinkable, both all of these beers, Ziplines are. So as we always do, we'll put the notes to describe the beers, let you know where you can find them. But gentlemen, let me just thank you for being here and cheers.
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 That's how we should always talk about renewable energy.
I like that. It's a very nice, smooth Pilsner.
What's it remind you of?
It
before there was craft beer.
Well, I've always liked the more of the pilsners. I just like the smoothness. I drink all different kinds, but I end up coming back to this pilsner kind of beer.
Someone described it for me. It's the lawnmower beer, right? Uh-huh. After you've mowed the lawn, you can drink a pilsner or two. Josh, you were so kind to have us up to Norfolk earlier this summer, and we kicked off Renew Nebraska. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a co-chair of Renew Nebraska. Why is it important to form yet another organization in Nebraska to talk about renewable energy?
Yeah, well, I think it's important because the more we tell the story of what renewable energy is doing in the state of Nebraska, the better. So this isn't simply a group of people who are coming together to do that. This is not a nonprofit. This is not a professional organization. It's simply a group of Nebraskans who said, I'm willing to put my name behind clean energy and the opportunities that it presents, both rural and urban Nebraska. And I think it's a good mix of people. We have business people, we have farmers, we have economic development officials, and Nebraskans who just want to see opportunities be realized in our state and recognize that we have a lot of potential here to be an energy producer, which has never historically been the case. Since we're not an oil or gas or coal state, we are, though, a wind and solar state. If we just embrace those opportunities as such, we can realize the economic and social benefits that come with it.
That's such a good point. And John, I know as your role for many, many years as president of the Farmers Union, talk about why renewable energy is so important to rural Nebraska and to farmers.
Well, I want to talk about that, but first I just want to say that Madison County is my home county. And so I am a sixth generation homesteader family farmer. And so we've been at this a long time. And that I still have a lot of family and relatives in Madison County, including a brother and sister who live in Norfolk. And they are so excited about what Josh is doing in Norfolk.
Yeah.
And all of the innovative things, all of the waterfront stuff, the revitalization of downtown. They really are pumped and excited about the fact that he stepped up and that Norfolk has become a green energy city, and that they're looking for all kinds of new and creative and inventive ways to do all of that. And that fits sort of our Farmers Union paradigm, which is, if you think about it, everything that a farmer buys, he pays retail for, and everything that a farmer sells, he sells wholesale. And so, of course, we have all this, market consolidation. So it's no accident that we really struggle to kind of keep our family farmers and ranchers in business, but also to have opportunities for our kids. And so we look at wind and solar and biofuels as all value-added opportunities. So we're adding additional value, and it creates additional income streams, and it helps create a economic driver kind of outcome. So all of a sudden, you know, we're looking at communities that in my farm is 5 miles from the closest wind turbine west of us. And so if you look at Boone County and Antelope County, and there's hundreds of wind turbines in that area, it's transformed those counties. And every single one of those wind turbines out there has the same economic value to that farmer as a really good part-time job if there was one to be had in Petersburg or Elgin or Neely or Tilden or Newman Grove. And so when you look at all of that additional income, it makes a lot of difference in terms of being able to feed families, in terms of being able to cover all of those costs. And it's a huge economic driver. And so I salute Josh and what he's doing in Norfolk. And, we're also optimistic that we're going to be one of these days adding a wind project in Madison County.
Exactly. Well, I consider you kind of the godfather of the renewable energy movement in Nebraska. But Josh, talk a little bit about, because you have also been ingrained in this movement for several years now. And John mentioned the economic benefit to rural Nebraska and farmers. From a mayor's perspective and an economic development perspective, what is this industry doing to the tax base and providing income, not only to farmers, but providing a tax base across the state?
Yeah, it's providing real life economic benefits in rural areas. It's, I mean, that can be seen through new farm income, through, as John talked about, lease payments to farmers, through new tax revenues that are delivered to school districts and county governments, and in terms of new jobs for young people. So another thing we have in North Fork, which was a great foundation to build from, is Northeast Community College's Wind Energy Tech Program, which is the only wind tech program in the state, longest established. 10 years ago, when it came into being, a lot of the graduates had to move to Minnesota or Iowa for jobs. But now, with all of the development that's happened, specifically in Northeast and North Central Nebraska, they can stay closer to home and build careers and start families in these rural communities. And that's a game changer in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of benefits that have come to life, really just within the last 3 to 4 or 5 years in Northeast Nebraska. And we see them and feel them every day. Wind farm construction, we've had a project, all the projects that John's mentioned have come to be established just in the last 5, 6, 7 years. The process of those projects being built out has brought a lot of wind farm construction workers to our area, which has produced another benefit to our local economy that we can't overstate enough, especially during a pandemic where
exactly.
It helped insulate us from the worst of the effects of the pandemic.
So Nebraska Farmers Union, and the fact that I'm from Madison County may have had a little something to do with it, but we worked with the community college to help set up their wind technician training program. And so we were a part of the original advisors in order to do that. And the president of the college was a friend of mine, and he took me aside and he said, if we commit these kinds of resources to this, is there going to be wind in Northeast Nebraska? And I said, well, there's always been wind in Northeast Nebraska. The question is, are we going to finally step up and harvest it? And if I didn't believe that we were, in fact, going to do that, I wouldn't be here asking you to set up this program. But they're going to need training, and they just as well get it somewhere. And so they're a part of this conference. So they have a booth as the Southeast Community College. So they've been with us since the very beginning. And you talk about these kids. These kids are getting really good paying jobs with benefits. They're rural kids who want to stay in rural communities. These kids have jobs before they graduate.
Yeah.
And so it's a remarkably, we talk about workforce development. This is a remarkably successful workforce development program that we're doing. And Southeast Community College has a different program, but addresses a different part of renewable energy. But in both of these cases, this area is the future.
Well, and Josh, talk a little bit about, Nebraska's a little late to the game. As our viewers and listeners may know, the only state in America that's 100% public power. So that presented some challenges for us. Had to change some legislation in order for those public utilities to partner with private companies. We've legislatively taken care of that. But we have an abundance. We have a crop that's in abundance that we're now starting to harvest. Somebody mentioned earlier, John, the ethanol industry at the conference here today, and how a multi-billion dollar industry that's become in Nebraska. Well, that could pale in comparison to what we're started here now, right? I mean, Josh, the potential is just starting.
That's where I want to give a little credit well, a lot of credit to Mr. John Beanson, who has been at the forefront of both of those things that he just mentioned. Wow. The biofuels industry and its development through the years in the state of Nebraska, and now clean energy. He was out there talking about it, talking about the opportunities that come with it before anybody else does. And I like to think there's something in the water at Madison County, because I grew up as a little kid making somewhat regular visits to the Hanson farm with my dad, who's
nice.
A veterinarian.
Nice.
And so I like to think that this industry falls in line with truly conservative farm values of don't waste anything. If it's useful, use it. We have a lot of wind potential, top three in the country, a lot of solar potential, top 10 in the country. So let's use that resource, because it's both a climate solution and a market opportunity for our communities.
So I track these numbers, and so I just want to get them out there, because they're big numbers. So if you look at the capital investment of ethanol in our state, we have a little over $5 billion of new capital investment, new tax base, new tax revenue. We have over 1,450 really good paying jobs in rural communities. We improve farm income somewhere around 50 cents a bushel or more.
Wow.
For all the corn we produce. Wow. This is a huge number. But one of the things that, as you think about that industry, if you calculate the amount of 10% ethanol that is sold in the state of Nebraska, that is sold for 30 cents a gallon less than 87% blend without ethanol, that amounts to $217 million worth of savings to Nebraska fuel users. So if you compare that industry and all that it's done, you look and you switch to wind, we have $4.66 billion of new capital investment in Nebraska, new tax base in Nebraska. We have right at $17 million a year in new local tax revenues. We have $13.3 million worth of new farm income from these easement payments. And we are developing a product that we already own and control. Yeah. Already, you know, it's the sun that shines on our property, it's the wind that blows on it. And so we're taking advantage of those things. We're not going to run out of sunshine. We're not going to run out of wind anytime ever in this state. And so you are, as Josh said, taking advantage of something that we already have. And it emits no carbon.
Yeah.
It uses no water.
Yeah.
And so once you have it built, there is no fuel cost.
Yeah.
And so there is nothing cheaper in energy world than paid for wind and solar projects, because there is no annual fuel cost.
Yeah. And go ahead.
So in addition to that, it's recruiting new business investments.
Yes,
so
I was just going to ask you.
Facebook,
yes.
And business development that's benefiting both rural and urban places. Facebook established Addison this year because they could be accommodated by renewable energy, Northeast Nebraska wind farms specifically. That wouldn't have happened if Nebraska didn't have the funding resources to do it, and the foresight to embrace the opportunity.
I had someone from the Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development tell me recently that even 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, when they were recruiting new businesses to Lincoln, you know, it was always workforce, you know, taxes, you know, all the normal things you would hear from a business that's considering moving to a state. Seldom did they hear anything about the need for renewable energies. Now it's like the top one or two things that they mention, in addition to our workforce. Can we get 100% renewable energy? And you've mentioned that, Josh. John, you've mentioned it time and time again, that companies want to come to Nebraska if they can get 100% renewable energy to run their businesses. And so we're seeing utilities respond to that. The cost has gone down. They've implemented goals to achieve 100% renewable energy goals. All three of the utilities are either adopted those standards or are considering those. My question, Josh, to you, here is John's 14th annual conference. We're celebrating with a wonderful Nebraska craft beer, but not everybody's on board. There's still, when we go to public hearings, there's still some people who are hesitant of having a wind farm next to their property, or hesitant to have a solar farm within their purview. How do you answer those folks, and what are some of those concerns, and how can we address them?
I think you have to hear out those concerns, listen and learn, and take the opportunity to educate in real life facts and numbers and experiences that people have. So again, in Northeast Nebraska, we've had the benefit of having some projects in the ground now for a number of years. And so we have landowners who have, again, benefited from that lease payment. We've had communities who have seen the tax revenues. They've seen the new jobs created. And lo and behold, the claims about wind energy, whether it's sounds or health effects or whatever, they're not true to life. And so having lived it and having some familiarity around it in the region has helped open the door to that opportunity. And it's benefited Northeast Nebraska. Now, not everybody's going to be happy. There's a lot of politics that gets wrapped up into this. But I think if we appeal back to those conservative values that Nebraskans have, truly conservative, root word conserve, right?
Then
it's a popular notion and concept across the board, because it does bring real life, real world benefits to people in rural places.
Well, it all begins with landowners, and there's not one solar project, there's not one wind project, there's not one wind turbine on property anywhere in the state of Nebraska that a landowner didn't sign an easement for. They looked at the facts, they heard the pros and the cons, they made a business decision that made sense for them, and they voluntarily chose to participate. And so we're not forcing people to put anything on their property that they didn't want. And so when they look at what the benefits are, they're going, this could be very helpful to our operation in the long term. And so, as we know, commodity prices gyrate up and down. Input costs seem to always go up. And so when we do have higher commodity prices, it's always followed by higher input costs. And so the need for off-farm income, if you look at the USDA data, in America, and Nebraska is no exception, over 90% of net farm family earned income comes from off-farm jobs. So is this important? It's hugely important. And as you think about the business of neighbors, if you want good neighbors, be one. And what goes around comes around. And my right to have a wind turbine on my farm is your right not to have one, right, if you so choose.
Right.
And so we have to be respectful of our neighbors' desire to take advantage of business opportunities, especially when they're economically and environmentally beneficial. And that goes to the core of being a reasonable conservative.
Yep.
It's my property. I should be able to have the say,
yes,
over how it gets used.
Yes.
Kind of thinking. And so, from our standpoint, the opposition has a very loud voice. But when you look at all of the polling data, when you look at all of that, the vast majority of Nebraskans, especially younger Nebraskans,
yes,
strongly support the development of renewable energy and believe that this is an important part of our future, and they're right.
What I've found, and Josh, I know you've seen this too, it's not only the environmentalists, those of us who consider that we want to protect what we've been given with the earth, but it is a business proposition. It is a economic decision that we are benefiting because of this renewable energy.
Absolutely, yeah. business case to make for renewables. It's part of the reason, and I talked about this at an earlier panel today, that the city of North Fork and the city council approved a community solar project, 8.5 megawatt solar project tied to battery energy storage. And we did that because we saw the cost savings that can come with that. That energy, because solar costs have fallen so significantly in the last 10 years, along with wind, made doing this project about 10% of the energy we use. It'll be first time in the state of Nebraska, I think, that by participating in the program, citizens can lower their energy bills by participating in this community solar project. So absolutely, there's a business case. The fuel is free, as John mentioned. Yeah. You get the projects established, the fuel is free. Businesses see the sense in getting a fixed rate for the next 20, 25 years, a hedge against uncertainty in the future. And all of those things, along with everything we've already talked about, makes these projects very attractive in the marketplace and for municipalities and rural public power districts too.
As we begin to wrap up, told you this would go fast. John, how can people get involved? How can people support renewable energy? I mean, we've got a very diverse audience that listens and views our podcasts, rural, urban, you know, you name it. How can people learn more? How can people get involved?
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, the generations before us, as I worked with those generations who came from the old country, we're talking about my grandparents, my parents, World War II vintage. It was once they understood that something was wrong, you didn't have to convince them that it was their job to do something about it. They stepped up and said, okay, I'm in charge. I'm an important person. I'm a member of society. I have citizen responsibilities to make things that are wrong right.
Yep.
And so we have to kind of remind ourselves that it is our job as citizens to do those things. So my organization is like the Energizer Bunny for democracy, because we keep saying you must get educated, you must get informed, you must use good sources of information and in order to inform yourself and then inform your neighbors, inform your family, inform folks that you come in business with and all of those kinds of folks. And then you work with other like-minded people and you harness the power of organization and you work in a concerted kind of way in order to help participate in public policy. And that begins at home. It begins when your senator is back doing, you know, coffees in the neighborhood or whatever they're doing. It comes time to get on the phone and call your state senator when important bills are up in the legislature, good or bad.
Makes a difference.
And so this is our democracy is all about participation. Yeah. And so you get involved, you participate. And when you work with other people and you participate in the process, then you really do learn how it works and you become a more effective player. And that's how you affect the outcome of history and policy over and over. And that's what we've done in order to be able to identify the barriers that were causing us problems, going back to what you said earlier.
Yeah.
And we did that, we eliminated those. And once we did, business stepped up. And so now we have 2,666 megawatts of wind. And when we started doing these conferences 14 years ago, we had 72 megawatts. So what an amazing transition.
Yeah. Josh, what's the future look like? Final comment.
I think the future is really bright for those who are willing to think a little bit differently, act a little bit differently, see opportunities of the changing landscape around them and embrace them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to do in a step-by-step way in North Fork and Northeast Nebraska. And I hope it's a good one for this state.
I can't thank you enough for allowing us, John, to be here today. And Josh, thanks for your leadership. John, thanks for your decades-long leadership, not only with Farmers Union, but now with the Wind and Solar Conference. Thank you. Thank you, Josh, for your leadership. Let me thank our hosts, Nebraska Horsemen, Nebraska Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, Warhorse Gaming, Nebraska Wind and Solar Conference, production, editing, and distribution of Pints and Politics is responsibility of BCOM Solutions. Kim Remington is our operations manager at Parsons Public Relations. Pints and Politics theme music that you may be hearing is performed and written by Jack Rodenberg. Thank you to Fuse Co-working and Parsons Public Relations. But most of all, thank you to Josh Moaning, Mayor of Norfolk, John Hansen, President of Nebraska Farmers Union, and the Chair of the Nebraska Wind and Solar Conference. Gentlemen, it's been my joy to share a beer with you this afternoon.
Likewise. Cheers.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for stopping by.